Thank you for joining us for another great show. We have another great guest with us today. We have Hector Supici.
Supici. Very good.
Awesome.
You got it right the first time.
Awesome. I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What got you into the business and where are you from?
Well, I was born in Uruguay.
Okay.
And that's deep south in South America. And what got me into what I do right now, basically, it's, you know how they say invention is the mother of all necessity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I needed to change careers because my body couldn't take my work anymore. I worked construction for 30 years, traveled 45 weeks out of the year, and my shoulders, my back are just gone. So I'm using now the 30-some years experience I have to do home inspections and realty, and it's working out great.
Awesome. So you got into the business originally in home inspections, right?
Well, I got into the business originally working, building houses.
Okay.
And then I went from there. I did all the levels you can possibly think of in about 15 years. Then I became a site inspector. And then I worked for different companies. And then I worked for the gas company as an inspector, always inspecting sites and buildings and so on and so forth. And now I own my own inspection company.
Okay. So, with all of your experience and coming into the industry, what do you think makes you unique in home inspections and real estate? What makes you stand out?
Well, right off the bat, with home inspections, you don't have to know anything about houses to go and study to become a home inspector. And, you know, within a year or so, you have your license.
Right.
Having 30 years of construction experience makes a whole difference. You decide, you want a chef to inspect your home or you want a construction guy to inspect your home. And then with that, going into realty, for me, it's really easy just to pass it along to my clients without charging. Because when you go get a home inspection, you pay $400 or $500 and more if the house is bigger. So people that work with me as my clients, they don't have to pay me because I already have the license. I know how to do the work, so it's free. And who doesn't like free?
Right. That is a nice savings for sure.
Right.
Nice savings.
Absolutely.
So growing up in where you were and coming here, it's Uruguay, right?
That's right.
And coming here, did you come here as a kid or as an adult? When did that happen?
Well, I was in Uruguay until I was almost 17 years old.
Okay.
And my dad was in the Navy. He was stationed there. My family is Italian, and he served almost 50 years. Then we moved to Canada with a Hat family, and then I finished growing up there, went to high school and did the whole thing. And then in 2002, I moved to the States.
Okay.
And also because of my body condition, the weather doesn't help when it's very cold, so I had to find a warm place to live, and Hawaii was taken, so Arizona was next in my budget.
That's awesome. Man, that's interesting. So you guys, you said your family is Italian,
right?
Okay. So in the military there, and was he Uruguayan military, or what, where were we at here?
I don't know much because he died when I was 10 years old. I didn't get to know him that well. I just know what I've read or what I've seen from him. He was in the Uruguayan army, but he was a communications person. So a portion of our home was his office, and he had all kinds of communication devices. I don't know what he did, and he never talked about it. And if we asked, he gave us one of those looks like, none of your business. So we just left it at that. But I know he served almost his whole life. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a kid, I mean, what inspired you? What did you want to be when you grew up? What did that look like for you?
Well, I wanted to be a soccer player.
Okay.
my grandfather coached the national team in Uruguay.
Okay.
And they were the Alberto Supici, if you look it up. He was the first world champion for the World Cup in 1930. And I've always read about it. There were schools and streets and things that say Supici when I was a kid. A stadium, and I didn't know what it was, I didn't know what it meant, but now it kind of makes me proud of my family. And so I always wanted to, I had a natural ability to play soccer that helped. But with the move, you know, when I went to Canada, soccer is not the thing, so I kind of gave it up. But that's what I kind of always wanted to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still got that passion?
I do. I'm waiting to turn 50 in a couple months so I can join a league, and
Yeah,
I'm working out toward that.
Oh, awesome. So there you go, man.
Yes,
still,
sir.
It's never too late, right?
Nope.
There you go.
Nope.
Cool. So I guess in your approach to real estate, who are you looking to serve? Like, what do your clients look like?
I don't want this to sound bad, but I really want to serve my community. I identified a lot with the people I grew up with, you know, Spanish people. And I know there's a need for agents that can speak both languages. preferably well, so that you can translate some of the documents that are harder to translate into Spanish or back into English. And there's not a lot of that. There's a lot of realtors that speak Spanish, but when you put legal documents in front of you, speaking a language is a very different thing. And I also worked as an immigration translator of legal documents for years, and that helps me a lot with this part of it. And my community is in my heart, you know.
Okay, I appreciate that. So the translation, was that in Canada?
That was in Canada. Okay. Yeah, I worked
What did that look like? So there was a lot of people coming from, I guess, Central and South America coming to Canada, or what is that?
In the mid to late 90s, there's a lot of issues with South America and dictatorships, and Uruguay finished theirs in 1989, and a lot of countries continued for a bunch of years after that. And there was a lot of people leaving, and it was fun for me to translate, because some of the stories, they were just BS, and some of them were wild. But some guy said, you know, to parachute into Canada because they were being persecuted from Nicaragua or these places. And I'm looking at this as a translator, and I'm thinking, my job is to translate, you know, not to interpret anything else. But it was a fun job because of that. Some of the stuff people came up with, it was funny. But there was a lot of it. I was working night and day.
Wow. I appreciate you sharing that, man. Parachuting, huh? All the way from Central America. That's awesome.
Yeah, nobody parachutes into Canada. You know? They just walk in or fly. You know?
Right. Awesome. So again, I want to kind of go back to the childhood. I guess when you think about who inspired you, what was that? Who was that when, as a kid? Who did you look up to?
Well, growing up without a dad, it was hard to find heroes, to be honest with you, because I really wanted to know him well. Once he died, we had access to that attic, and there was so much stuff there. Old war stuff and books that he kept, drawings. I found out he sculpted, painted, and drew really well. And it was hard for me not to want to get to know him, you know. And as I grew up and I had kids, that grew even more. I wish I could have a chat with my dad right now and say, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Because I have certain abilities that I never studied for, like drawing and painting, for example. My daughters now, they both have the same thing. They just pick up watercolors, oils, and they just paint. And I put some stuff on Instagram for people to check out. And we got all that from our family, and I know nothing about him. So I think he was my hero in many ways. He was a rough man, don't get me wrong. You know, dads in the 70s, and they were not chatty people. They're just explain with the right hand. So, it would be him, I guess. He did a lot with his life, and I know nothing about it. So,
it's interesting. You know, I kind of, not the same. You know, I never really had my dad in the picture. But it's always that wonder, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing what I need to do as a father, right? So I feel that. Appreciate you sharing that. Digging back into your business, you know, as you go about your days and you're working through people and working with people, and then you have people on the outside looking in, what do you think they think of you, or what is the misconception they have about what you do, or is there a misconception about what you do?
I had this misconception before I became a realtor that it was a simple thing.
Okay.
You just go to school, just take the 90 hours, you'll be fine, and you don't have a clue of what you're doing. It's pretty much just like anything else that requires some kind of a license or something that people tell you, 8 weeks, and you. It's not like that at all. It's something that demands some respect. You have to know what you're doing to represent people. And I didn't know that until I got into it, and my respect for realtors in general grew 100-fold after I went through it myself. And sometimes when I talk to people, I kind of wish they went through it so they'll understand how hard it is to get your license in any discipline, especially when it comes to realty or home inspections and things like that, where what you say really matters, and you can hurt somebody with hundreds of thousands of dollars and pretty much ruin their life. So you have to really know where you belong in that, so that if you don't start at the bottom, you'll never grow. So I don't know much as far as anything else, but with what I do, I'm an expert.
Right. I appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of times it's because realtors don't see that as well. Maybe they've been around too long, but yeah, it's a big deal, right? I guess when you're looking at it, understanding that you're brand new, how do you navigate that with your clients, understanding that you're new?
Well, the brand new part, that's kind of, it depends how you look at it, because I've been in the business for 32 years now. I just haven't had a license to sell homes. So when it comes to serving a person or knowing what I'm doing, I have more experience than most people. I just happened to get my license here in Arizona, recently, but it doesn't really affect what I can do and how I can do it compared to other people that have the license for 10 years.
That makes sense. Plus, you have a lot of backup on the back end, right? With all that.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Awesome. I guess what does your day consist of in the morning when you're trying to juggle these two things? Like, how does that look? What does it start off for you? Where do you begin?
Well, as far as work goes, I start my day thanking God, and I end my day the same way every day. But as far as work goes, I will go and check my email and see whether I have to schedule somebody for an appointment regarding the home inspection company, or I have a client regarding the realty company. Beyond that, I spend a lot of time teaching both my daughters. They're 14 and 15. One of them deals with contracts, and she writes them on the computer. I've been teaching them for a couple of years now.
Okay.
And the oldest one deals with the homes, describing everything that builds a home, the type of walls, the type of floors, and so on and so forth. And I pay them, every week
Okay.
for their work, so they can learn how to work and what it takes to make money. We had rough weeks in the past 5 years where they didn't make any money because we didn't have enough work to pay them. And they miss it. They're like, "Oh, I'm not making any money this weekend." I said, "Yeah, exactly." So
Interesting.
they're learning to save money. And so I do everything I do to answer your question around my family and around my business. Right now, we're just looking to grow a little bit more. That's it.
I appreciate that. That's great advice. I like that. I kind of had my mind rolling about some things that we could do at home. And I appreciate also sharing that you can build your business around your family, right? You can make those things a priority and make it work.
Yeah,
Cool. Thank
absolutely.
you. So, and speaking about money, and teaching your kids how to do that, what would be the most interesting way that you made money or ever have ever made
That I
money?
have ever
Yeah.
made money? When I was a little kid and my father died, we have to move with my grandmother for 2 years. She lived in a farm, and we had to learn the farm ways. We were city boys up to that point, and I was only 10 years old. My grandmother was extremely poor, and she didn't have anything, so we had to work to help. Not only on the farm, we had to work outside of the farm. So we sold candy. We got up on a bus and give a speech. We have this awesome candy, it's this much, and you have to walk the bus back and forth. And that was just about the most terrifying thing for me to do, speaking in public. It was really, really hard. It's hard when you're little, So I learned a lot. You have to take people going, "Ah, that's so cute," and other people going, "Oh, what an idiot." And you have to take it all in, and then you learn to, your skin thickens as you go. So by the time I became an adult and I became a minister in 1996, I was used to being, challenged or speaking in public, and that helped me a ton with that. So that was an interesting way of making money.
Interesting. I appreciate that. I love the candy selling stories. That's kind of what I did growing up too.
Did
Yeah,
you?
man, I love it's what I do. So cool. Thank you. So you mentioned being in the ministry. Are you still active at doing that, or you kind of put that on the back burner?
Well, this past year, because of my children's age, girls, 14 and 15, I decided that it was best for me to just take a sabbatical and concentrate on my home and my marriage and my kids, because they're a very crucial age. I've never been the father of a 15-year-old before. So every time something happens, it's something new for me. So two companies to run and a ministry plus a family, you have to know where to say, I'm up to my neck here. So there's ministers that can handle ministry work. Nobody can handle my family because it's mine. And nobody's going to run my companies like me. So those were the two choices I had. And so for the past year, we have church at home every Sunday, just like if it was a regular church. But it's just my daughters and my wife and I. And I'm trying to help them with the next few years I have before they go on their own. and hopefully it'll stick.
Cool. Appreciate that. Is there anything that you regret?
Regret.
Or would you redo?
Back to my dad, I guess. I don't know if it's for me to regret, but it's more of a wish. I wish he had more life in him, so we can have some chats about things, you know. But other than that, you know, I was happy for everything I went through. There were some really, really hard things to go through as a kid, to be honest with you. But it made me, so I can't really change that because I'm kind of like my experience, so.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier that you love to read. I love asking people about their reading preferences and things that have touched them. Love if you share something that maybe you've read in your life that touched you.
Yeah, I've read a lot in my life. I got a, there's a book called Men in the Arena. In this book, it's more, I want to grab the title as a segue to something that really impacted my life. But this book is about a Somalian soccer player and some of the struggles he goes through and how he grows out of that and what he becomes. But the Men in the Arena part is taken from FDR, president here, who in 1910 gave this speech that I don't know if you heard of before. It's called The Men in the Arena. That wasn't the title of the speech, but there's a portion of that speech that I have here that I want to read to you. Just give me a quick second. And it says, "It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out," sorry, stuff pops on my phone, "how the strong men stumbled, or where the doer of good deeds have done better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, who faces marred with dust and sweat and blood, who steers valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but he does actually strive to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in the worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least while daring greatly, he fails so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." And that quote from this president hit me like a ton of bricks the first time I hit it, because it talks about a person who struggles through things so that he can grow and become something, become what he is. And I can relate to that because I struggle a lot. English is not my first language, obviously, and I struggled to learn it as an older person. And I used to record myself, you know, speaking English, and I used to grab a Spanish Bible and an English Bible and read both. And one of the hardest things you could do when you're speaking a language is recording yourself and then listen to yourself. It's demoralizing, depressing, but if you go through it year after year after year, you'll get better and better and better until you get to the point where you want to be. But it says here, even if you don't make it, at least you tried, and no one can take that away from you. So that quote, you know, is one of the ones I use for me. But my my favorite book of all is the Bible, and the book of Proverbs talks about, Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, "If you shut your ear to the cry of the poor, you too will cry and not be answered." And that also, you know, pushes me through every day in my life. Because when I see people struggling, all I have to do is remember when I was struggling and I wish somebody would give me a hand. And it makes you move. It makes you go. So,
hey, I appreciate that. That was great. Just great advice and great way to wrap things up. I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much. Where can we find you?
You can get me on my phone number at 480-431-9530, or you can go on our website at myhsrealtor.com. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, everything under my name, Hector Sapisi. That's the easiest way. We're everywhere. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on. It's been fun. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.